As I mentioned in the introduction, the theme of Association Sunday is growth. And that's okay as far as it goes. But sometimes growth for growth's sake can be badly misunderstood. I learned a rather amusing example of this at the minister's retreat that I attended with the other ministers from this district, the Pacific Central District, last week. And they were contrasting our relatively relaxed and friendly event, everybody in sweatshirts and so forth, with what it was like 25 or 30 years ago, when women had not yet rose to prominence within our ministry. We're now 50% or more women ministers, when gay people had not yet become ministers in the movement. Apparently it was a bunch of stodgy old white guys in ties. And unfortunately, a couple of the people there could remember that day as being, I quote, a rather unpleasant example of my steeple is bigger than yours. Now, that doesn't sound very fun. That sounds like somebody who would be interested in growth or size simply for its own sake. And although I want this congregation to grow and thrive, although I want hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people to find and embrace the message of Unitarian Universalism, I don't have some number in mind. It's not about a number. What I have in mind are people and possibilities. As will become clear, we do need to grow, and the world desperately needs this way of life. And in any system, growth is the sign of life. As Bob Dylan once sang, you're either busy being born or you're busy dying. But sometimes all of the emphasis on growth feels like it misses the mark a little bit to me. The expression that's used for our campaign is grow our faith. And that's great, and it certainly means growth in numbers, but it's grow our faith. And that might mean the number of Unitarian Universalists, and that's good. And our faith is deepened and enriched when more people come, because that creative interchange that helps us to grow and learn and better ourselves is more fruitful when there are more people. But growing in faith, growing in the religious spirit, growing in the heart of Unitarian Universalism is a little different. And that happens by simply taking this whole religious enterprise seriously, by trying to be the very best religious community we can possibly be. I've been reading a wonderful article by a minister of ours, Earl Holt, who's now in Boston, called In Search of Church Excellence. And he writes there that if you are going to do a great job, if you're going to transform yourselves and the world around you as a religious community, then you have to believe that what you're doing is a matter of supreme importance. It matters maybe more than any other thing, that it's worth giving yourself to. He goes on to say that if you want to be an excellent church, you have to know the unique qualities of what a religious community offers that no other place does. And those are explicitly religious things. Worship, prayer, meditation, conversation about core values, conversation about deep truths, conversation most of all about how to really live as a moral, ethical person no matter what you believe. The point isn't simply to grow. The point is to be excellence. Or as I might say, it's not the size of the steeple, it's the magic in it. To be excellent, we have to really understand who we are and what we're trying to accomplish. And more than that, we have to expand the effort as far as we are able. And to me, that's what this day, this Association Sunday, is about. It's intended to foster a sense of connection and to tighten the bonds that connect us to the other UUs around the country in our Association of Congregations. That's the name of our national body, the Unitarian Universalist Association of Congregations, and it's a perfect word. It really describes our identity as a shared faith, as a group of 1,000 or more congregations with a common set of principles, as an institution with several hundred years of history. We know that Unitarian Universalism is bigger than any individual or any individual congregation can capture. But other words that might describe the larger body, church, denomination even, those imply a hierarchy or a central power, and that's just inaccurate. We are a community of independent congregations, but it's the community, the association, that is the heart of the matter. The word comes from socius, a companion, and to associate is to unite with companions. That's what the office in Boston is all about. Okay, those are the folks that said, please go out there and remind yourselves of the many other Unitarian Universalists across the country this day. And I have noted over the years as a UU that sometimes congregations evidence a certain suspicion or worry about the home office in Boston. We tend to be questioning of authority in both good and bad ways, and, you know, they are a kind of authority, so sometimes we wonder what's going on there. We use the expression, the UUA, as if it were something separate from us. But the better way is to put it is our UUA, our association of congregations. There isn't some association, some bonded community, some shared light that's out there. It's right here with us or it's nowhere. It's our association, our bonded community, our shared light, no matter where it is. The fact is that the growth of Unitarian Universalism anywhere serves us, strengthens us, increases our power here as individuals and as a congregation. And I'm thrilled by recent efforts to invite more people into this way. Maybe you've seen TV ads on The Daily Show, or you got something in your newspaper, or you saw Imagine a Religion on the Google sidebar. And soon you will see a full-page ad in Time magazine. Finally, finally, after a couple hundred years, Unitarian Universalists are willing to say, we're over here. Too long, we've been afraid to spread the good word about ourselves. We've been referred to as the best-kept secret in town. What could that mean, even? We've been called a safe haven for like-minded people. That's fine as far as it goes. We've been afraid of sharing our faith, sometimes for good reasons. Many of us had religion shoved down our throats, and we don't want to do that to somebody else. But there is a big difference between saying, there is Unitarian Universalism, and saying, you better be UU or you're on the fast track to the hot spot. Okay. And that fear of sharing our faith, for good and bad reasons, has produced some rather stunning results. The average UU congregation nationwide has an average membership of only 100 people. The association has grown, if at all, at a tiny rate of less than 1% per year, and we do not have appreciably more numbers at all than when the Unitarians and the Universalists merged in 1961. Meanwhile, the U.S. population has increased by 50%. The fear of growth and change is so hard to shake that most congregations clearly don't even bother trying. A UUA study showed that over the last decade, the 60 fastest-growing congregations in the movement accounted for two-thirds of the growth of the entire Unitarian Universalist movement. That's 6%. There are 1,000 congregations. 6% did 66% of the growing. Now, I understand that the fear of growth and change is natural, and it can affect a church of any size. I just read a great story by a UU minister about his home church that was large and growing. And when they reached 900 members, they hired a growth consultant to come in. Great, you know, there's always room for more. That's the idea. And what that growth consultant found was that the number one concern of that congregation of 900 folks was if they got to 1,000 members, they might lose that intimate feeling. Well, that's the same excuse that the congregation of 50 people offered. We have to shake that fear. We cannot hide our light under a bushel anymore. because we have a compelling message and way of life, and we need more people to affirm it and live it, not just for our sake, not even for our sake, or for the sake of our UUA, but for the sake of the world. In this instance, the emphasis on numbers is meaningful to me. In some cases, steeples aside, size does matter, because there is strength in numbers. One of Martin Luther King's most commonly repeated quotes was given during a speech at an AFL-CIO convention in 1961, the year of our merger. "I'm convinced," he said, "that we shall overcome, because the arc of the universe is long, but it bends toward justice." When he said that, he was actually quoting or paraphrasing our great Unitarian forebear Theodore Parker, who expressed it as, "I do not pretend to understand the moral universe. The arc is a long one. But from what I see, I am sure it bends toward justice." Now, I love that expression. It comes to my mind frequently. And whenever I hear it, I imagine the whole history of the earth and the affairs of humankind, even of the universe itself, as some kind of giant steel beam, the arc of the universe, the wholeness of the thing. And imagine that, if you will, a very long steel beam. And if you only look at 6 feet or so of it, it would appear perfectly straight, unbendable. But if that beam was stuck into the wall over there and it went all the way across, it would bend. And that's the long arc of the universe. It is a slow, heavy, hard process to move that thing. I share King and Parker's faith that the overall arc of the great big thing does bend toward the good, toward love, toward beauty, toward connection. But I'm also aware that here on Earth, in our little piece of that beam, there are no guarantees. So if we want that arc to bend toward justice here, we have to get as many people as possible hanging on to the right side and pulling it down. And one person alone may not seem to do it at all, but hundreds of thousands, and the arc moves a little bit. History and humanity have this enormous weight of karmic momentum for us to contend with. The forces of selfishness and short-sightedness and superstition are very strong, as any open-minded glance at current events will confirm. Bill Sinkford, our president of Our UUA, has said that the goal of this movement is to help change the culture, and he goes on, to help the universe bend toward justice. And if we're going to do that, we need as many people as possible working together. We need every last liberal religious person hanging on to that arc. And the fact of the matter is that groups of people have more weight than individuals. We live in a universe where the sum often, or the whole really is often more than the sum of its parts. And when people come together in groups, we prove that. And that, for me, is the most compelling reason to think, yeah, let's grow. Because the more folks we have in our association, that's the more people that our Washington Office for Advocacy can represent when they go to present the call for peace and economic justice to our elected officials. The more people that Lindy Ramsden of our own California legislative ministry can speak for when she knocks on the governor's door. The more people who can show up at marches, and the more people will take the values and principles we espouse seriously. It has meaning. Statistics show that 63% of the total population in America report affiliation with a religious group. That's around 192 million people. The largest denomination by far is the Roman Catholic Church, with membership at 63 million. That's about 33% of everybody who identifies as connected with a religious community. So when the Catholic bishops write a letter about nuclear weapons or abortion or homosexuality or whatever it may be, lots of people, lots of papers, lots of politicians have to take notice. Friends, if we were lucky enough to make the paper, they would note that there are 160,000 of us. That's 0.08% of American churchgoers. 0.05% of the people in this country. We are a tiny mouse hoping to scare a big elephant, but we can't even squeak loud enough to get the darn thing to look down. When we do squeak loud enough for the look down, we can make a difference. And the more of there are of us who are squeaking, the better it works. And I can testify to it. It worked in Massachusetts, where marriage equality became legal, partly, in no small part, to the influence of Unitarian Universalists there, who hung the banner right next to the State House, who showed up 1,200 strong at the Gay Pride Parade. There's a lot at stake. The future of this country is at stake. And now is the time. Now is the time for us to own our responsibility to shape it. Michael Schuller from the First Unitarian Church of Madison wrote, "As religious liberals, our best opportunity to shape and redeem the future lies in generously funded, highly motivated, dynamically active, strategically placed faith communities like this one. Conservative leaders of the so-called Third Great Awakening, this great wave of embrace of evangelical and fundamentalist Christianity that's sweeping the country, he's speaking of them, the conservative leaders of that movement have waged war against sensible family planning, the teaching of evolution, basic biological research, ecological restoration, and the legitimate rights of same-sex couples. They show startlingly little sense of responsibility for society's most vulnerable members and practice a bellicose, fine word, brand of Christian exclusivism that undermines attempts to bridge differences and promote international understanding. That's why we can't hide our light anymore. There is a huge hole there in the American religious landscape, and we need to fill it. And it's there for the taking, I think. I think the world is full, really full, of spiritually minded people who already accept the basic premises of liberal religion. They know that love is sacred, not an angry judge. They know that science and religion need not be enemies, that gay people are normal. They want more economic and social justice. They love the earth and they want to protect it. They just need to be invited into a place where they can turn those sentiments into actions. So we need to stop being the hidden religion and to begin to let our presence be known with a voice that is firm, unabashed, respectful, and proud. There are people out there who desperately need what we have to offer, and they have nowhere else to go. And that is the moral imperative of growth. The root need, ultimately, for us to be excellent at church, to be more inviting to people, to be as welcoming as we are able, is the raw fact of human suffering. We struggle with addictions. We wrestle with bad habits. We lose the people we love. We become ill. We endure hardship and go through change. We struggle with relationships. We hurt. It's not always that way. But in every life, it sometimes is, and it seems that that is when people need religion most. For some, the traditional answers from traditional religions are adequate to the task, fine. But for others, those answers ring hollow. People who need to question, who need to find their own way and need support in that journey. And if only they had a religious community that was open to questioning, even as it was open to care, think how much better their lives would be. I might say, remember how much better your life became when you discovered or rediscovered Unitarian Universalism. What a tragedy if people in real need were to live and die never knowing that all along they too could have been part of such a thing. And it is for them, more than any others, that we ought to make our presence and our message known. Now is the time to make our message known. The message that says there is a place at God's table for each and every child of the earth. That the giver of life has been given many names and loves the givers of all of them. That we should be more interested in getting heaven into people now than getting people into heaven later. That religious scriptures are open doors rather than sealed vaults, and that there may yet be scripture to be written. We need to spread the message that peace and justice are not just words we form with our lips, but realities we shape with our lives. The message that there is only one race, the human race. The message that we are one with the stars and the trees and the rivers and all the stuff of life. The message that our lives are all about growing hearts that love, minds that seek, and hands that serve. We need to spread the message, I would say, of 7 basic principles. And I invite you to read them with me now. In your hymnal, you'll find reading 594.